Welcome to Chronic Combat Conversations, a live look at our best bets, picks, and predictions for every UFC event with your hosts, Andre Arlovsky and...
and the guru, back for the first time with Andre Arlovsky, back again, new year, same ridiculous us, same Apex cards, apparently. We are back in the Apex. We've got Magomed Ankalaev. Didn't we have this fight already, too? Magomed Ankalaev versus Johnny Walker, the rematch, because, you know, the first time wasn't good enough with the no contest. And where are you? I'm in the desert. Wonderful. Johnny
where
Walker.
Where are you?
But before this show's off the rails. But before we can completely caravan off the ravine, we got to introduce our unbelievable guest, everybody's favorite uncle. If you're not already following him, I don't know what the hell you're doing. He produces some of the best content in the game. He's out there with some of the most content in the game. Go check him out on patreon.com/UncleWeezy. We've got Uncle Weezy. What's up, brother?
I'm doing good, you guys. I'm ready for fights to kick back off here in 2024. I'm looking forward to having a great year here. I've been building some new products behind the scenes during the off weeks here. To start taking advantage of some of these markets that aren't bet on as much. For instance, the prize picks and the underdog plays where we've got significant strikes, takedowns, and fantasy score totals that we can bet on, because things are getting a little bit weird out there, you guys. It's not just, you know, Andre Arlovsky taking his 56th pro fight. It's the fact that, you know, Phil Hawes versus Bruno Ferreira's fight doesn't go to decision props, opening up at minus 1,400. Gene Silva versus Weston Wilson's fight doesn't go to decision props, opening up at minus 1,600. So some of these markets are getting a little bit risk-averse, and some of these openers are flat-out insulting to the gambling market. So I'm looking to branch out, find some new plus EV things to bet on here, as well as doing what I've always done, which is try to beat these bookies with a bag of oranges until we juice those oranges and then just enjoy a nice cool glass of orange juice while we count our money.
Oh man, it doesn't get any better than that. Weezy already gave out my two best bets for the show, so I'm probably just done. You got my fight doesn't go for those.
You parlayed the 1400 and minus 1600. You got 8.5 units to win one. Let's go, baby.
Let's settle it down. These are the plays they came here for.
It's a short-term investment, you know? You're going to get your money back. Seriously, before we actually completely let it get off the rails, there's one thing I'm going to ask of you guys. First thing, appreciate everyone that comes here weekly or even just one time so much. Without, you know, the audience and you amazing people in the community, you know, me and Guru would just be talking to ourselves like we used to. So truly, it's amazing. And to have great people like Weezy, who really are amazing handicappers and great people as well. That's what we bring to Chronic Combat. It's the best bets, the best guests, always free. We're coming with a new focus in 24. This boy's graduated. Guru's locked in as always. And we're ready to get after it, quite frankly. So, Weezy, let's get this party started. I know you've been waiting all these weeks to get back to Mega Mind Magomed Ankalaev versus Johnny Blue Label Walker. This is going to be a great matchup.
Why Blue Label?
I don't know if he's Black Label. I haven't seen the title, you know? Like, once he earns the title, he's Black Label, you know?
That's double black.
Well, you're lucky that I didn't actually put, like, my TB nickname on the graphic.
I see it.
I had it there, and then I took it away. I was like, you know what? I'll just say it. I don't want to show the people the whole time. Then they'll steal my amazing nicknames. So minus 550 Ankalaev, somehow even wider line than the last time they fought. Plus 410 Johnny Walker. I mean, I get it. You know, there's a reason why I picked Magomed Ankalaev the last fight, why I found a degenerate way to parlay him. I feel like something greasy and disgusting is going to happen this time again. It's like, you know,
How does it get more greasy and disgusting than last time?
Multiple fouls. We go 5 rounds to a decision. There's something disgusting is going to happen. I just don't feel comfortable. But go back, listen to our analysis when we broke this down last time. Quite frankly, I mean, like, Magomed Ankalaev is my pick. But Johnny Walker, he's just too gigantic, explosive. That flying knee that he faked the body shot where he's like, oh, I'm hurt. Call an ambulance, you know, and then all of a sudden he's like flying in your face with a knee. So Johnny Walker, I know that turned into a takedown for Ankalaev, but Walker was on his way back to his feet. What if Ankalaev isn't liking the leg kicks that he's getting? Because Walker starts off with the leg kicks right off the bat. Ankalaev seems to be checking them decently, but you know, I think Ankalaev is probably going to want to play it more on the safe side here. We saw him go to the wrestling game. I mean, I'm going to pick Ankalaev here, but Guru, what did you feel might happen in this fight?
Well, so one of the interesting things about the last fight, obviously, is kind of how it was all playing out in terms of they were kind of chilling on the feet a little bit until Magomed was able to get that takedown finally, right, in an exchange where, you know, he finally pushes him up against the cage there, and then where he starts landing those illegal strikes where he obviously didn't need to. You said, oh, and somehow the line is wider. I mean, I think it's wider because people saw how the first 4 minutes of that fight were going. It really wasn't. I mean, it was close enough on the feet because for whatever reason, Magomed Ankalaev loves to be a close on the feet point fighter. How I see this fight going is kind of where that fight was already headed. You kind of would have expected more violence. You kind of would have expected, right, something bigger. But I think it's going over 1.5. I think these boys take their time. I think Magomed does eventually find a finish. I'm not convinced it's going to continue to like go the distance like these Johnny Walker fights kind of have lately, right? The Anthony Smith fight standing out in particular. And you know what it is? It doesn't matter how much time goes by. It still feels like that Thiago Santos fight was yesterday because of how much PTSD that was. But I'm not getting caught going crazy here. There's no reason to have major exposure on this fight. I don't care that they made it the main event. Doesn't really matter to me. If you looked at the UFC 299 card, like what's that fight? RDA Gamrot. That sounds like a fucking UFC Vegas main event. So that you could just alternate this fight with that fight. Like you don't need to go crazy just because this is the main event, and I'm not going to. So I like the over 1.5. That's it. I mean, parlay Magomed Ankalaev if you feel like being a complete degen, but you don't have to listen to a betting show to tell you that. Uncle Lou, Uncle Weezy, what do you got?
Yeah, I'm with you guys. You know, I think the over 1.5 is the play here. Three of these guys, four fights that were scheduled for five rounds did go over 1.5. And like you said, I mean, when you look at Ankalaev being a notoriously low-volume counter striker, only attempting 7.88 distance strike attempts per minute spent at distance, you know, that is 2.04 less than the divisional average. Actually, Johnny Walker's the same. He's only attempting less than 8 as well. So these guys are low volume. You know, they're a little bit low volume. They're counter strikers. They're going to wait for their openings. And I think that this one will go over 1.5. You know, Ankalaev's one of these guys that's like, you know, he's 18-1. He's almost undefeated. I mean, like if you count the loss as being just like a complete fluke, you know, this guy could be undefeated in his career. And he's a very smart, low volume. He knows what he's good at. But like, I just feel like he could be so much better than what he is if he actually wrestled, which he doesn't really. Only 32 takedown attempts in 12 UFC fights. You know, I mean, like this guy, when he gets on top of dudes, he's an absolute menace. So I'd like to see him wrestle more. I'd like to see him throw more, do more. But when I want somebody to do more and they don't, that's the over.
Yeah, nice. You're 100% right. I love that, and it makes me feel more confident in my read of the over 1.5. I did lay 3 units over on FanDuel because FanDuel had it at -156. So I laid 3 to win 2. And
that's a lot of unitage on the main event. You said,
or did I do? Or did I do? No, I'm sorry. I think I did 1.5 to win 1. I think I made that up.
Yeah, that I would feel much better about for you. I was gonna say it seems like a 1.5, not a 3, on my scaling. I would say
it's exactly what I did. I did a one. Nice. I did an exact 1.5 to win.
Okay,
two.
Good. I mean, I was gonna say that didn't sound like you. That didn't sound like you.
Sorry.
I was gonna say, are you okay? Do I need to check your temperature?
I just wanted to sound cooler than I am. But
fair enough. I appreciate you. That's why we call each other out, because we always hold each other accountable. Now, shout out to the people here. A couple things to get to before we move on to our next fight. Why is Orlovsky doing a breakdown show and he's got a fight to focus on this week? Come on, Pitbull, focus and get the money. Here's what I got to say. The allegations are, listen, I'm not getting my win bonus, so I got to make money some other ways. We got to win some fucking bets this week.
Dude, have you ever watched the Andre Arlovsky-Travis Brown fight? Like, I feel like that's a fight you probably would never have seen.
Yeah, yeah, that's one of those crazy ones that they have, like, always playing back on, like, the free fight stuff.
Oh, so you have seen it? All right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, come on. You think I don't remember my own fight?
He's a plus 300 dog in that fight. That's so stupid.
Professor Chaos, appreciate you for joining the show. Grateful dude. We're grateful for you. Very grateful post here. Yeah, best of luck this year and this weekend. All to the same to the rest of the chat. So we're going to move right along here. But before we do, I should point out, we used to have a beautiful statistical display that had some, like, you know, more Excel-based stuff. But, you know, TB decided I need to do less time inputting stats and do more of TB scouting MMA. So I've been focusing a little bit more on some extra tape study. And Nate Latshaw does an amazing stat display on his website for Tell the Tape. You can kind of customize what you want to see. So the display you see here is what we've kind of curated to what we think is important in breaking down our fights. And we're going to continue. So if you have any feedback, Guru's going to give me feedback. So I put the slideshow together. Let me know what you think needs to be included or taken away. If you don't like the stats, if they don't look good, this is going to be a work in progress. So just wanted to shout out Nate Latshaw, does great work on Twitter. So we'll move along. We got our co-main event. Oh, baby, it's a banger. It's a star boy. We got Mateusz Nicolau versus Manel Starboy Cop. They don't even give Mateusz Nicolau a nickname. It's Luana. It's Mr. Pinheiro for me. In this fight here, I think Mr. Starboy is going to make Mr. Pinheiro go home looking for Luana. Quite frankly, if he didn't come in off a knockout in his last fight to Brandon Royval, the line probably would be a little bit closer. But even all the same, Mateusz Nicolau is kind of a guy that fights safe, tries to avoid getting into wars because, I mean, let's be frank, we've seen the guy eat a few chin shots and not really do so well with them. So it makes sense why he's so defensive on the back foot, circling around. And Cop is kind of the same way. So in their first fight, he's coming over. He's still got the fucking ankle wraps on from Ryzen. Like, the dude is used to fighting in a fucking box. Now he's in an octagon. It was totally different. Second fight doesn't really show the same aggression. Now, I feel like his grappling and wrestling are on a whole other level since getting to Extreme Couture about four fights ago. And quite frankly, it's just, I mean, Starboy is going to stun out here. I got minus 198. I tweeted you people about it on December 14th or December 17th, whenever I placed it. There's a couple bets I placed before the new year started. This was one of them. It was so clear, but I laid minus 240 also. I did it. I just had to keep on throwing money at Manel Cop. I don't see a way he doesn't finish Nicolau, but instead of taking the inside the distance, I'm treating it like a short-term investment. This is like my Vitor Bobby Petrino best bet of the card. I got it sub minus 200, but I bet Petrino at minus 250. So as long as we're not talking a minus 300, I'm cool with it. If it's the right matchup, you got to just hammer it home. So Manel Cop is my best bet of the week.
Yeah, I mean, they gave Manel Cop this fight for a reason. And right, they're not, to me, they're not doing Mateusz Nicolau any favors. If anybody goes back and rewatches that fight, if you have any sort of real eye for MMA, I mean, you know who won that fight. Like, it really wasn't that close. Like, split decision's a little ridiculous. I mean, you look at all the media scores, it was unanimous for Cop. It was a robbery. There's really not much else to say. And we have to give the guy his credit. He makes his debut against Alexandre Pantoja. Like you said, he's coming from Ryzen. He's using ankle wraps. Why? Because he's used to wearing wrestling shoes in Ryzen because they let you do that. Then he decides as a close decision, he wins the third round versus Pantoja. So he has a close. It's close. He's like, you know what? Fuck it. Steps in on short notice against Mateusz Nicolau. Wins the fight, but gets fucking robbed. So from there, he kind of, what you say, TV, he goes to Extreme Couture. And what I think he's done, it's not that his, like, wrestling or something has gotten so much better. He honestly was elite at grappling. He's really, really high level. What I think Eric Nixick has done has made the star boy shine, right? He's rounded out some of those edges that were more jagged out in Ryzen, right? He's really refining his technique over at Extreme Couture. They're perfectionists over there. They work really fucking hard. So what you're seeing from Manel Kopp is I just don't think he's going to let this one slip away. He's not going to listen, he'll still showboat, and he's still going to be a little sketchy at times, right? You even saw that in the Felipe Dos Santos fight where, I mean, he's beating the piss out of the guy, but he just won't stop. He still loses a round, but well, maybe not. But it was one judge gave it to him, right? And I didn't agree with that.
It was enough for Eric Nixick to say in the corner after round two, like, you're better than this guy. You got to stay within yourself and counter.
Right.
So I get your point, but that's
because
where having
Nixick, because you can corner. Does. You're right. Because you thank you. And you're right. And sorry to cut you off, but that's exactly it. He's a kind of a cocky guy, and you can get in his head. You can start fucking with his ego. But I think in this fight, he's all business and he's going to take care of business. So give me Manel Kopp here. Parlay him to your house. And yeah, why not take him by finish at +140?
Yeah, I went with Kopp by knockout at +215 when that opened. I got Manel as my Uncle Weezy's ass shaving of the week this week.
Let's go.
As a matter of fact.
Oh, baby.
Yeah. You know what? He's gonna have to find Mateus, though. That's not gonna be easy because Mateus uses every inch of that cage to run. I mean, he really runs, and the reason he does is because, you know, TB, you said it, this fight comes down to durability. That's really why Kopp's -278 and Nicolau is +225. It's about durability. These guys are really good boxers, both of them. I mean, Nicolau's a great counter striker. Kopp is a great counter striker. Neither one of these guys are what I would call massive volume strikers, especially Nicolau, but they're both below average for the division in terms of their output. So they both prefer to counter, but it's just that the optics of Nicolau kind of skirting around the outside of the cage, I don't like that. Manel will be the aggressor here, but you know, now that they've already fought once, I think he realizes, you know, like I'm more durable than this guy. I can force the action and not necessarily have to worry about the consequences of getting knocked out. I just got to stay within myself and not get taken down. That's the most important thing, is that if Kopp's 78% takedown defense continues to hold up at that rate, you know, he's going to win this fight because he's going to be landing the bigger shots. And Nicolau is just not a guy that can take a punch in this weight class. So I think it's going to be a difficult night for him to find success with the wrestling, holding down a guy like Kopp, who's very aggressive with his BJJ, and he's got a pretty good get-up game as well. So, yeah, I'm looking for Kopp to win and win by KO here.
Yeah, listen, three losses on Mateus Nicolau's professional record. They are all by round one knockout.
Yes, sir.
I think it's very live here. I think you've got to take a dart throw, a sprinkle on the round one KO for Kopp because that.
And Kopp's got a fucking chip on his shoulder right now, you guys. People are pulling out of fights, you know, like he had that Alex Perez fight where he pulled out on the day of the fight, you know, and then he was supposed to fight somebody else, and then Dos Santos stepped in for that guy.
He had Suma Darji, Rogério Bontorin finally gets to fight Dvorak, Perez pulls out, Figueiredo canceled fight. Kai Kara France canceled fight.
This guy's got a chip on his shoulder. He's like a dog on a leash. Like, they're going to let him off that leash on Saturday. And I think he's going to be shaving ass on Saturday, man.
He only got to fight once last year. What the fuck?
Yeah. He wanted to fight so much more than that. He feels like people are ducking him. And I think he might be right about that.
And that's why I took a shot on Manel Kopp to be champion at the end of 2024 here. And I got it at +1400. So I was really happy to take a little half unit shot on that. And to me, it's this fight. If he gets his first round knockout that we're talking about, it's very possible that he could supersede or usurp a Brandon Moreno Albazi title shot. Because that's it. That's the matchup. Otherwise it's Kai Kara France, who, I don't know, is injured. I don't know where he's at. But you know, after Manel wins, he's going to scream into that mic about Car France and title shots and craziness.
Yeah. Yep. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah, I love it. I love that when your best bet coincides with the ass shaving, man, it doesn't feel good. So we're moving on here. We've got A10 Jim Miller versus Gabriel Mowgli Benitez. So was very curious why this opened as Jim Miller, like plus what, plus 110, plus 120, Benitez as the slight favorite. I just didn't really understand it, quite frankly. So overall, Mowgli Benitez, he loves being controlled. He's got really bad takedown defense, and he doesn't have the best striking defense or chin. The dude has amazing calf kicks, amazing body kicks, but doesn't that just leave him open to getting a kick caught and having his back taken?
Counters.
Yeah, I mean, Billy Quarantillo gets a TKO on his back. Now, I don't think Jim Miller is necessarily as like athletic or overall at this stage of his career the same guy as like a Billy Q, but what I can take away from it is like Jim Miller has shown improvement in the striking all throughout his career. I know he's facing absolute bums the last few times, but at the same moment, he also has shown like the ability to land some calf kicks against a guy like Poirier. He's shown the ability other times to submit like high-level profile fighters. Like, well, I guess Clay Guida is not that hard to submit, but basically the moral of the story is that Jim Miller's been in there against everybody, and now you're giving him Mowgli Benitez. And you gave us plus money on Jim Miller. It just seemed like a no-brainer. I got like 2.5 units, Jim Miller, plus 110 and plus 100 spread out over a couple bets.
Yeah, I got plus 114 and plus 100 as well, about 2 units there. It's, you know what it is? It's that some whoever is just, if you're looking at just the paper, right, and you don't actually know these guys, you're like, oh, well, he's 4 years younger, and he's a little bit bigger. I mean, they're basically the same size, but it's like, yeah, I don't know. I really don't know where you.
I don't know. You see that paunch on Jim Miller? He might be bigger. Look at that. Look at that. That's like TB style right there.
Yeah, that's why. Listen, one thing about Jim Miller is that he is 4 of his last 5 dubs, wins,
yeah,
finishes, right?
And what? I'm sorry. Can I hear that again?
Jim Miller, 4 of his last 5 dubs, wins, finishes.
What's different between a dub and a win?
Nothing.
Okay, well, that's what confused me. That's why I needed to hear it again. Sorry.
All right. So, Jim Miller had a knockout of the year contender in my mind. The way he put Jesse Butler to sleep is fucking amazing. One of the best knockouts I've ever seen. It really gets overshadowed just because there's so much MMA content now. But yeah. Bisping is talking about how Jesse Butler has a lot of experience and not necessarily be taken lightly. And as he's saying that, the dude is asleep standing up like he's on a park bench or something. Crazy. Crazy. So Jim Miller still got it. And he's fighting at UFC 300. Like, it's going to happen. So he's going to crack this guy. He's going to get a win. And, I don't know, put him against, like, fucking Matt Brown or something. Matt Brown, a welterweight or lightweight?
I mean, that's a terrible idea.
Welterweight. Nah, terrible.
That's a terrible idea.
Terrible
idea. I appreciate your thoughts, but like,
yeah, that kind of fight, some sort of legacy fight. We'll figure it out for him.
Well, we got A10. What is Wheezy got here?
Wheezy.
Yeah, I'm picking A10 as well. You know, for me, this kind of comes down to the recent form, right? I mean, we haven't seen Mowgli Benitez in 1 year and 5 months, right? And layoffs, when you're in your early 20s, sometimes a layoff's a good thing. Dude, when you're 35, a year and a half layoff, that's a bad thing. You know, trust me, I'm 50. I told these cats before the show started, I'm falling apart like a Chinese motorcycle. I've had 2 colds in the last 2 months that usually should hang around for like 3 days. They're hanging around for like 3 weeks, you know? So Mowgli had to pull out of a fight for undisclosed reasons. We don't know what it was. I believe it was a Jim Miller fight, actually.
It was. I was just about to bring that up. I didn't even realize that had happened. They're not letting Mowgli Benitez escape this matchup.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird because he's been out for over a year. So that layoff is huge. Miller has fought 4 times in the same period of time where Mowgli's only fought twice. You know, so I think Miller's in better form right now. We know he's the better submission grappler too. But the problem is, the reason I haven't touched the fight is Jim Miller doesn't wrestle, you know, 21 takedowns in 28 fights. He kind of initiates grappling exchanges when things get chaotic. He doesn't, it's not going to be like a single leg in the center of the cage where he like kind of like drops you down. He passes, you know, he gets to your back. That's not, it's always somebody getting served. And then like, he just grabs the back or the neck. He just snatches it up opportunistically. But if he just stays at distance with Benitez and kickboxes with this dude, I think Benitez is the better kickboxer. I think we all know that. But what we don't know is, why was this guy out for a year and a half at the age of 35? Right. He was getting his ass shaved by fucking Charlie Oliveira before he realized, you know, like, what, I better take this dude down. You know, he's younger, he's faster, he's longer than me, you know? So, I'm going with Miller here, and I like him to win by second round submission. I think he finds something opportunistic in the chaos where he can get to the neck of Gabriel and do what he does best, which is strangulate dudes. And he does it very often. I think he's going to do it in this one, but I always worry when I want Miller to grapple, I have to keep it in my mind. This guy's not going to be out there shooting blast doubles or singles or, you know, like going out there and wrestling. He's going to try to find his grappling opportunities in the chaos.
Right. You make such an excellent point about that. And that's why you truly are one of the best in the game. And it highlights exactly what happened in Jim Miller's fight before last, before Jesse Butler. They are giving him favorable matchups, and they tried to sneak fucking Alexander Hernandez in there. What the fuck is that, man? Why are you doing my boy like that? And Jim Miller doesn't give a fuck. He goes pound for pound with Alexander Hernandez, and he loses based on not on pace, but just on damage, which is just him being a sick fuck. He's like, I didn't hear no bell, basically. And if you watch that fight to the end, the bell saves Alexander Hernandez. He's about to get choked out. So, So he's not going for takedowns, but he's still against Alexander fucking Hernandez, a top 15 guy on his best day, is about to choke him out. So I really do think that he's going to finish Mowgli Benitez as long as he doesn't do something supremely stupid.
Yeah, I think he can hurt him first on the feet. I think his boxing is decent enough, and he's not giving up size. And also, like we keep on
talking about. Ask Jesse Butler about his boxing.
I don't think Jesse Butler can talk yet.
Yeah.
Dude, didn't they try booking him for a fight a month after?
Yeah, they had him booked.
Yeah, but that was about to be a Jared Gordy situation.
That was exactly the Jared Gordy situation.
Wait. 2 months later, they had him booked against Sean Woodson. And then in November, they had him booked against Jekys Sarigi, and he pulled out of that one, too.
Wow. So. Yeah, Jekyll would have knocked him cold, too.
Yeah, for sure.
Round one, Alexander Hernandez didn't knock out Jim Miller, I'm not worried about Mowgli Benitez. Next. No. All right. We got
talk about it.
Don't really. You're going to keep cutting us off the rest of the night. What's going on here? Chill out. My God, you killing me. This happened 4 times in a row. My God, I'm trying to get a word in edgewise here to set up the fight, and then you'll have your time. I'll let you take the first on this, actually. We got Ricky Simon Vato versus Mario and Luigi Bautista. Guru, what do you got here?
Nothing. No. this is
son of a bitch. You son of a bitch.
this is an unbelievable fight, right? You've got Ricky Simon coming in off of his first ever main event and a loss to Song Yadong in a kind of a one-sided fight, a bit of a beatdown. Although he does win round one on one scorecard, right? Not really. It was really close. It was really close. He didn't win round one, but it was really close. And you've got Mario Bautista coming in. But was supposed to fight Cody Garbrandt, gets a quick switch of opponents in Damon Blackshear, who sets a UFC or ties a UFC record with quick turnarounds within a week. And man, is that a close fight too. Bautista wins 2 and 3, but I think Blackshear on a full camp maybe gives him a lot more trouble, but maybe on a full camp preparing for each other, it's a different fight. Very close, very fun, interesting matchup. I'm on Ricky Simon here. And the reason at the end of the day I felt was there's a certain level of competition here that Bautista hasn't faced. And if you're not the type of striker that is going to really damage and hurt and apply that crazy pace and pressure back to Ricky while also stuffing takedowns at a high rate, you're not going to win. He is almost like Marab in his relentlessness. His top control could be a little bit better, and his damage from top control could be a little bit better. But, you know, who doesn't want that from volume wrestlers? So, unless you're Khabib. So, I've got Ricky Simon here. I got in early. I got in at 3 units at minus 150. I feel like we're such jerks for keep telling early lines. Listen, but we lay them on Picket. We lay them on BetMMA the best we can. Hopefully you're and Patreon. Hopefully you're getting us, you know, when we say this, so we don't have to we're feel that Patreon? Way all the time. Not, I'm talking about Weezy on Patreon.
Oh, okay. My bad. Okay.
Including all of us in the collective. Yes. Right. In the conversation.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Making sure.
No, we're not on Patreon yet. No, I don't think we ever will be. But I like Ricky Simon. I think he gets it done. Levels fight. Bautista's got to take it to him. I mean, how does he get it done, right? Is he getting a knockout finish? I mean, it took Song Yadong 5 rounds. Uriah Faber got lucky. I mean, come on, man. Rob Font, that's a really tough fight. Long jab, 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 hurting him with that. So I don't think Bautista has that in him. So give me Ricky. What do you guys got?
All right, Weezy, you go ahead. What are you picking here?
Yeah, I'm picking Ricky. I'm not betting him, though. I think Bautista's good, man. I think he's a good fighter. And, you know, I think there's a lot being made of the strength of schedule disadvantage that Bautista has here, because it's clear Ricky's fought the better dudes. He's more experienced. You know, he's fought the better guys. He's going to be the better wrestler here without a doubt. But on the feet, it's going to be close. And it's going to be up to Ricky to push that pace. You know, he's the Mexican Marab. Hang on, just. You know, this guy can push a pace as good as anybody in the division. And the fact that he beat Marab, you know, he beat him in that third round. He out-wrestled Marab Dvalishvili in round 3 when most people are begging to go to the hospital already because they're completely exhausted. This guy, Ricky Simon, not only was matching him, but he actually got the takedown. He got the dominant position. He got to the mounted guillotine, you know, and he, you know, the way that fight ended was very strange, but the lesson to be learned was that this guy matched the cardio, pace, and wrestling of Marab Dvalishvili. So it's going to be up to Ricky to push that pace, you know, to get this dude up against the cage, to make him wrestle, to drag him into the kind of fight that really benefits him. Because if he doesn't do that, Mario's younger, you know, he's longer, he's more definitely more explosive at distance, I think. While Simon's got the better power numbers, that jump knee that Bautista will kind of walk you into sometimes can absolutely end anybody's night if it lands. And Bautista's grappling, he's got a very good get-up game. When he does get taken down, and when he's on top, dude, he's good. I think he might be the better top control grappler out of the two of these guys. Simon lets guys up, you know, but Simon's great like for a DraftKings play, because you want the kind of guy who lets the guy up and then takes him down again, because you're getting that 5 points, 5 points, 5 points on DraftKings when you're only getting 0.4 for a significant strike. So, you know, guys like Simon, they have to push the pace to be at their best. I'm picking him to do that. And I think that this fight might finish inside the distance as well.
See, yeah, now that's like an interesting play.
Yes.
Yeah, that's you can find. Under 2.5 at plus 135. That's a lot of meat on the bone if that's how you feel.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was looking at the 140 and the 120 for Fight Doesn't Go. These guys have been finished in 5 of their 6 combined pro losses. And Steinman's got power on the feet and a nasty grappling game, and Bautista the same thing. So I could see somebody finding a finish in this fight.
Yeah, I ultimately lean towards Simone and inside the distance, but because Fight Doesn't Go is going to be plus money, or under 2.5 is going to be plus money, That's where I'm probably going to end up actually having a bet on this fight. I think Bautista's submission game is legit enough to give Simone problems if Simone, you know, isn't having the success that he needs, you know, like the clean success that he needs. Because if this stays at distance, like, you can't tell me Mario Bautista is going to be like low output when this guy's landing, you know, double the amount of strikes from distance that Ricky Simone's going to be landing. Now, he doesn't quite have the killer instinct, but at the same time, we've seen Ricky Simone put out by Uriah Faber, the 40-year-old Uriah Faber. Like, yes. It doesn't take everything to finish Ricky Simone. That doesn't mean he's not a tough guy. That doesn't mean he doesn't have great cardio and that he's not improving, because his knockout power on the feet is improved in leap and bounds. And then you see Mario Bautista, who cuts down way too much weight to 135. This guy will probably be at 145 in the future after his next loss, if I had to guess. I mean, the dude, you can see his cheekbones in the picture before he's even at his full weight cut. And then you see him on the scale, you're like, my God, is he good? And you're just like, all right, his facial structure. But still, I mean, the dude cuts a ton of weight. So he's 3 inches taller, but he's not getting any of that back in reach. He doesn't have the killer instinct of the general person that puts out Ricky Simone. Yeah. And yeah, I think that Ricky's boxing in the pocket on the feet is going to be the end of Mario Bautista's night. But you're giving me plus money on the fight to end inside the distance when Ricky's been finished plenty on his own. I think that's where my play lies, is just avoid the side, take the plus money, and hope for the finish, because either guy is capable here. I think Bautista is a really good fighter. It's just a bad matchup. It's a bad matchup. He's not built for a muscle hamster that's going to keep coming.
Yeah, like that is the truth. I mean, you're right. He is probably the better striker on the feet if it's like a kickboxing fight, right? But I'm just not sure that he's going to – like, I just don't know that he's going to finish him on the feet per se, unless it's, like you said, like some sort of flying knee. And then in terms of the submissions, he's got one submission loss. It was his first ever loss in 2016. Like, I'm just not sure that he's going to be able to replicate that.
That's fair. Simon says it's Simone.
It's Simone, like, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, Ricky, yeah. Simone is definitely the correct pronunciation. He says, but I'm Simon. Sick and I'm lazy. So Simon, when you accentuate the first syllable, it's just easier to say. So I like Simon. But yeah, Simone Way. You know, yes. We know what that means.
Yes.
You know?
Thank
How about
you.
This?
You
How
know?
About
He's this? Man of culture.
You win this fight. And we'll never mispronounce your name again. So go get it done for us.
Oh, God. All right. Sick. Love it. You guys are great. All right. Here we go. We got No Hype. Phil No Hype Hogg versus The Hulk, Bruno Ferreira. Oh, my God. This fight is just the absolute biggest meme that I've ever seen. Yeah, right. We're talking about that whey, and I don't mean protein whey. asa whey. If you don't know what that means, you need to go work in a kitchen for a little bit and come back.
Yes, you do. That's where you really learn, man. That's where you really learn.
Well, I am the translator at my job because of the time I spent working in the restaurant. Anyways, Phil Hawes, Bruno Fajeda, this was a meme made in heaven. No matter what happens here, it's going to be fucking hilarious. Someone's dying, or it's going to be the sloppiest fight goes the distance that you've ever seen. So strap in. This fight is full-blown AIDS. Be careful what you do with it. And just be careful. Me, I personally took the plus money shot on Bruno Fajeda a few weeks ago.
Fajeda.
Plus 114. Fajeda. at plus 114, I got him. So I was like, listen, I'm happy to get on the guy with power against the guy. It's not No Hype. It's Phil No Chin Hawes. But but if you're the likes of Kyle Daukaus, if you're the likes of Nasruddin Imavov, where like your biggest power punch is like, you know, a gentle love slap. Yeah, you have a chance to get decisionated by Phil Hawes. But Bruno Fajeda, I mean, the way that he steps through his combos, that's how he makes up for his reach disadvantage. It is so impressive to see the way that this guy smoothly switches southpaw, orthodox, throw a jab, step through with the left. That's how he catches everyone. It's because they think the combo's over, but he's just stepping on through. So I'm glad that the people agree. I think that's kind of my new outlook about how I look at fights. Like, listen, I'm trying to avoid infection over here. So we got to be careful when it comes to this. You got to just limit your exposure. I got $20 on Bruno Fajeda. That's one unit. Bruno Fajeda plus money. If you can't get it now, don't do it. Bet the fight to end by knockout. Fight doesn't go, whatever. It's fight to end by knockout. No one's getting a submission. And if it's a decision, it's Phil Hawes.
Yeah, we're looking for a little HIV positivity, not full blown AIDS. So you got to stay careful.
You got to be careful.
So you got to be careful out there. I think
Either way, you're right. I think so. I honestly think that this fight won't go the distance. I really do think somebody gets served, as Uncle Weezy would say. And I'm really hoping it is Phil Hawes, because TB did make me get in with him on Bruno Ferreira when he was an underdog.
Yeah, I held his hand. I made him do the face ID. I made him enter the units. I held his finger down to place the bet. I forced him, this bitch.
Whoa. Oh my God. Did you watch the Ted Bundy thing where he's like, come watch this video with me? That's basically.
Do you want to watch the show?
He made me bet on Ferreira. Listen, I do think he gets it done. The way that Phil Hawes has been just put to sleep, it's bad. I was asked on Twitter, is it like, do you give any credence to the level of opponent? And, you know, I guess that's some level. It's a fair question, right? Ikram Alaskarov, Roman Dolidze, and Chris Curtis are understandably, you know, a tier above Bruno Ferreira. But the problem is, the issue is that the knockout power is not on a different level. If anything, it's on the same, if not a higher one. So it's a problem for Mr. Hawes. I don't expect him to last. His cardio is also an issue. He's the older fighter at 35 years old to Bruno's 31. I just don't think anything really works in his favor other than the reach. And TB already beautifully highlighted how Bruno's going to cut through that. So give me Bruno and don't give me AIDS. What do you got, Uncle Weezy?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not touching this one with a 10-foot pole. Let's face
why not,
it.
Why not? Why not? Yeah. What happens because, if you touch it? What will happen if you touch it?
Because what will happen is that the money that I was touching when I made the bet will no longer be in my hands. It'll just be off into the vapor, you know? And that's what's been happening. Because, like, this guy Hawes, you know what? And we have to go back a few years, right? We have to go back a few years to the Julian Marquez fight on Dana White's Contender Series, where Marquez punted his head outside of the apex all the way into Henderson, Nevada, which is close to Las Vegas. But, you know, it's a good long punt. It's like a Ray Guy type punt. You know, for those of you who remember the 1980s Oakland Raiders, you'd see Ray Guy punting balls that went like 150 yards. You know, the Hawes, and once you get a concussion that bad, you know, the doctors tell you, you probably shouldn't be doing this anymore because the brain injuries only get worse from here on out. And then we've seen the Dolidze knockout after he got his knee torn up. You know, that fight should have been stopped as soon as Herb Dean saw he was on one leg. Who cares if he wants to keep going?
Yeah, what was that? I mean, like,
the guy's fighting a professional killer on one leg. I mean, like, do we really know what the result of this is going to be? He took an unnecessary knockout there. And then the knockout against Alaskarov was scary as well. You know, and, you know, he's getting dropped by Kyle Daukaus. He's getting put on a stanky leg twice by Imavov. Hawes is better than this guy, but he just doesn't have a chin. So I can't bet on it. I think it's not going to go to decision. Well, thanks, Bet Online, minus 1400. Thanks, pricks. You know, right here, you know, so, I mean, I can't bet on that. So, yeah, I'm going to sit back and enjoy. This is going to be a fun fight, dude. These are two guys who hit really hard. And Hawes is a very explosive athlete. Hulky, which is what they call it. Whenever you watch the Brazilian tape, it's never Hulk. They always call him Hulky. I don't know why. I don't know why the Y goes on the end of Hulk. Maybe somebody that speaks Portuguese can tell me that. But, like, it's a Hulky, Hulky. And I'm like, wow. It's weird, you know, but I actually picked Hawes. I think he's a good fighter. I think if he doesn't get touched on his chin, then I think he's better than this dude. But Ferreira's good. He switches stances. He's a good kickboxer, like TB was saying. He's smooth with the way that he sets up his power strikes. So it's gonna be a fun fight. And your Uncle Weezy isn't gonna have a dime on it. And no matter who wins, I'm gonna be able to laugh my ass off when one of these guys is lifeless on the canvas when it's over.
It's a smart man.
Stay very light if you're betting it. Yeah, I don't mind a dog. Yes. At this point, I don't mind a dog shot on Phil Hawes, though, truthfully.
Should I arb it?
That's how I know, because you really can't get him as a dog for as a dog anywhere else. So, I mean, in that respect, we did our job, but it's just like, I would not be surprised at all to have a losing ticket.
I agree. Listen, before we move on to the prelim section of the card, very important. Got to make sure all you people in here, absolutely electric community. Hope you guys are enjoying the show. That guy can punt. Shout out to punters, baby. And that's what you get, the crossbar references. You get everything on Chronic Combat. So if you haven't thrown a like, make sure you throw a like. If you haven't subscribed, why not? We're a good time. We don't cost you anything. And if you're really crazy, you can always like super chat or join the channel as a member, you know, a chronic cushioneer, you know, like filling out grandma's crouch cushions so that we could throw some crazy props. But at the end of the day, it's always going to be free content. We're going to give you the best guess. I mean, look, we got Uncle Weezy to kick off the year. I don't think it gets any better. So we got Andre Arlovsky Pitbull Arlovsky versus Waldo Cortez Acosta. I know Guru hasn't looked yet. So so yeah, we got Andre Arlovsky. He's fighting this weekend. He made it. So
see, what actually would have been funny is if you put Andre TV scouting MMA Arlovsky and had changed.
So I was going to do that. I was going to do that, but this was just so much better.
No, now I have to look at your face twice.
No. Here, look. So I fixed it. So. we got my father, Andre the real Arlovsky, TV scouting MMA's long lost family. Actually, we're both from Belarus, so you never know. We could actually be like distant relatives. My family came over, you know, during the Holocaust. You never know. So anyways, Andre the Pitbull Arlovsky versus Waldo Cortez Acosta, the salsa boy. Yeah, so listen, I mean, any other century or decade, I would tell you, you got to take Arlovsky here. You got to take him by split decision. I mean, he's getting knocked out by Cortez Acosta. And the funniest shit would be is if he gets submitted instead. And that's why you shouldn't bet this fight. So I think that there's like going to be a weekly bit here where it's like I spent too much time breaking down this card to not have a degen parlay. Like that's the name of the parlay. So Waldo Cortez Acosta, he is part of the, I took way too much time to break down this card and not have a piece of it parlay.
Yeah. I mean, I like that. And I'm curious as to what the knockout line's actually going to be, because I think he's going to knock him out. And I think he does it in round one or two. Because I'll be honest, I didn't think he was going to knock out Lucas Bresky, and he did. I thought that fight was going to
Dresky.
I don't care. You've got to win at least. You've got to win at least two UFC fights for me to actually care about your name that much.
Like you're not. How do you fucking what? Tell you people that? Hey, you know the name starts with a B. Don't tell me it's Dresky. Fucking put a D in the front of it if it's Dresky. Then don't give me shit.
Whoa.
We brew. Yeah. See, this is why we put up TB's, you know, I'm sorry, Andre Scouting MMA. appreciate you, brother. The Australian or the Kiwi coming through.
We'll put it on Andre Arlovsky as tribute. Thank you for the title.
He's like, can I take it back? Can I take it back?
We won't do that. Unless you want
seriously. appreciate you so much. It really means a lot because truly, like, we just love coming on Wednesdays and having a fucking amazing time breaking down the show. So, Kiwi Brew, I know you're out there on Twitter. If you have your Twitter handle, make sure you put it in the chat so that the peeps can follow you, because you're a great dude. So, anywho, I'm sorry if I cut anyone off. Weezy, I think I cut you off because Kiwi was awesome. But did you have any final thoughts on this one before we get to more fulfilling endeavors?
Not really, guys. I'm not betting this one. I mean, I think the under 1.5 might have some legs this week. You know, what I'm looking at here was what was interesting was where they opened the fight doesn't go to decision, right? Because they opened it at -325. Andre Arlovsky has had only 7 of 23 fights since 2013 finish inside the distance. And for Cortez Acosta, it's only 1 of 4. So when the bookies open something at an implied probability, and an implied probability is just another word for price, right? At 76.47%. But we have a 27 fight sample size of 3-round fights between these two guys, and only 29% of their fights have finished inside the distance. Why is this priced at -325? Mm-hmm. And the answer is because Andre's getting knocked out in the first round. And the bookies know it, you know, and they're trying to tease you into being like, dude, Arlovski, all he has to do is dance around. No, man, he got knocked out by Dante Mays.
Yeah,
you could time that guy's overhand right on a sundial. So there's no way. There's no way that you that Waldo Cortez Acosta isn't going to go out, because Arlovski is chinny, dude. He's 44 years old. He's almost 45.
Whoa! What the fuck, bro? No, just kidding.
So. Yeah,
slandering me on my own show now.
Yeah, you're getting knocked out, TB. I'm sorry, but you know what? The check that they're gonna give you, it's gonna cash, and you'll be laughing when that money hits your bank account, baby. Let's go.
All the way to the Hall of Fame, too. And to
yes, sir. That's right.
To your point about the sundial, bro. He's fighting Dante Mays, and it goes into the corner. And Dante Mays' corner is like, you're faster than him. Go hit him.
No. But Jesus the Christ, funny like, thing was, is like, Cormier's announcing that fight, and he's going, Arlovski's got a speed advantage here. And when he said that, I laughed out loud because I'm like, dude, everybody's got a speed advantage over Dante Mays. You know, like, that guy, I think he was actually birthed while his mother was smoking a blunt. You know, like, he just looks like he's permanently, like, completely and totally faded, you know. The eyelids are heavy, you know. He crops forward.
He's probably on that good.
I went off on a goddamn tangent.
I love some Dante Mays.
It's all good. It's all good. We're always here for it. And the crotch bender himself always getting slandered. All right, we're moving on. I think
round one, round two plays. Round one, round two plays for sure. Dart throws on that.
Listen, I know Weezy's got a show coming up at 9 o'clock. This will probably be the last one we get together. So what we're going to do before he has to make his way, Guru, can you give him his proper exit? And then we're going to let him break down this fight first.
Get the fuck out, uncle. No. An hour is never enough. And you know what I mean? 10 hours probably would never be enough. We'd be guys sitting at the bar and just, we go all night. So hopefully one day we do get to do that, man. But we just have to break down fights again soon, man. Cause it's an honor to always have you on, and we have a great time, and you're literally one of the sharpest in the biz. So we love working with you.
Yeah. I appreciate you guys. And you always just need to ask, you know, I'm around, so I'm ready to break down fights with you guys anyways. But yeah, this one's a fun one, dude. And this is one that like actually got me a little bit on tilt, because I was saying on Stat Diggers on Sunday night that, you know, I wanted to bet the fight doesn't go to decision here, because they had priced the under 1.5 at, let me see where they had it here, at about plus 135 with a 42% implied probability. So usually you see about a 17% increase between the 1.5 price and the fight doesn't go price. Well, these pricks open the fight doesn't go at minus 325. Which is 34% more expensive than what they had the under 1.5, you know. And what is the bookie telling you? They're like, we don't want your fight doesn't go to decision action here. And here's why. When this thing's on the feet, Semi lands bombs, dude. This guy drops, he's got 10 UFC knockdowns, right? And Preston Parsons, he's got a pretty bad 52.5% distance striking defense. This dude's very hittable at range. And Parsons is a pressure fighter. So it's not like Semi's going to have to wait to set up a sweet counter. This guy's going to be coming at him the entire time. And those big bombs are going to be open. But also, Semi does not have good takedown defense. It is only 50% on 24 attempts against. And he gets held down when he gets taken down as well. Parsons is a guy who's very aggressive with submissions when he gets to the mat. Arm triangles, rear naked chokes. And when he's on the bottom, he's looking to set up his triangle armbar series as well. So I think that wherever this fight goes, either Semelsberger or Parsons is going to be very dangerous, and that there's a very high probability of a finish here. We're just going to have to wait for this line to open up at a reputable book where they're not trying to make us pay 34% more than where they have the under 1.5 priced. So I like violence here. I'm picking Preston Parsons, the underdog, to get his hand raised in this fight. But I really, my strongest lean for this one, you guys, is the violence angle.
I like it, Weezy. And here's my thing. I actually have a question. So yeah. I think I'm noticing, are you and Guru rocking the same hairstyle, glasses, and chain combo?
We might be. Yeah, we've got the same bun.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, we've got the same bun.
A couple good looking guys out here.
Very similar glasses to Guru, and I've got the silver chain here. The choke. Wow. Well, not a choker, but
I don't know. My chain's a little longer.
Yeah, but a little bit longer, and it's got the medallion on the end of it. But yeah,
I like it.
Yeah, we got a similar vibe going here. You know,
I like this actually. I can feel. I like being in the middle. This is like a TB sandwich. I'm like Guru Wheezy Bread. This is crazy.
Good lord.
Nice.
All right. Sorry, I had to be weird before you had to leave us. So,
anyways, hey, I appreciate you guys. Hey,
get a little food, take a little breather before you have to go live. Appreciate you so much coming on, and dude, we'll see you sooner than later. And just want to say appreciate you so much.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me on. Thank you guys for watching. Hit that thumbs up. Hit that subscribe if you haven't already to the channel. And I appreciate you guys putting in the hard work every week like I know I do here out here in these streets trying to give great MMA information to the gamblers out there. So appreciate what you guys do, and we'll do it again soon.
Hell yeah, Wheezy. Thank you so
much. All right, fellas. Good night, everybody. Take care.
You be good, buddy.
All right.
All right, good. Now that he's gone, he took Preston fucking Parson. No, I'm just kidding. all right. So anyways, aside from the dick maneuvering, I do have Matthew Semelberger in this fight. Appreciate all you guys. Hopefully, let's keep breaking these fights down, man. We got a few more to go. This is going to be a pretty solid card that gets us back. And dude, Semi the Jedi, why not cash a bet for us at minus 130? I'm agreeing with Uncle Shady. He's got Semi minus 130. And yeah, dude, I mean, it's such a great show so far. Guru, here's the thing I thought about Semi the Jedi here is like he knocks down everybody. And Preston Parsons,
it's his pressure, the way that he pressures people while it's his best asset, it's exactly what gets him into trouble. He will pressure to a point of reckless abandon, and he gets hurt doing so. You know, you watch him in a split decision versus Giles. I mean, I was pissed because I picked him as a dog in that fight. But as I've come around to keep rewatching it, like the letter of the fucking law is damage. And he got outlanded, outdamaged, and they controlled each other about the same amount. So you lose the fight, buddy. That's it. And in this fight, I'm not like he doesn't have like the best top control per se. It's all via submission grappling. So unless he's like really got Semi stuck in a really tough choke and is able to choke him out of there, like I think Semi's going to get back up because you see that with the fact that, yeah, he does have 50% takedown defense, but he spent 21% of his time being controlled, which is obviously not great. But then you look, he's also spent 17 of his time in control position. So it's actually really not that terrible for somebody with that terrible a takedown defense. So I honestly think that he's going to crack Parsons. And the only reason why I don't love it or why I don't think the line is much wider is that Semi's taking this fight on short notice. But he's got the size advantage by 2 inches of reach. Four inches of reach and 2 inches of height. So, and he's right in his prime at 31. And let's just be honest, like he's not going to get cracked the same way in return. Let's be honest. Preston Parsons can fucking swing, and he does it because he swings hard and because he wants to be on the ground. But he doesn't hit as hard as Jeremiah Wells, or honestly Uros Medic either. Mm-hmm. Like that dude fucking is, and it took him till round three with a spinning back fist when he was tired.
Yeah. So here's my point: is like,
I think that fight was also at altitude.
Yeah, so Shady Semi survives Wells ground game exactly. And I just think that Semi's faced such better competition and actually looked like competent. I mean, he faces Jake Matthews, Uros Medic, Jeremiah Wells, Alex Morono, Chaos Williams, and the only person to finish him is Uros Medic in the UFC.
The Hall of Famer Jason Witt, the vanilla gorilla.
Well, I was naming the good guys he fought.
What's wrong with Jason Witt?
Well, here's the thing. So Preston Parsons, he's got similar striking defense to the vanilla gorilla. So ultimately, seeing how bad Trevin Giles is landing the jab on him, I mean, Semi is going to be putting this guy down within round one and out by round two if he doesn't get him out of there early. So I'll take Semi. I'll take him by knockout. But, I mean, Parsons shoots in kind of stupidly, and he's been submitted before. He's lost by submission and by knockout. And Semi does have a submission on his record. He's shown to have some top control. He doesn't always one-punch KO guys. So I'm just willing to say he's the minus 130. You should just play the money line. But at the same time, I'll take inside the distance at plus money as well. I still haven't laid it, though. I don't know if I laid it, so I got to look into that. Next up, we got Marcus the Maniac McGee, Triple M, coming on Triple C versus the Dream Killer, Gaston Bolaños. This is going to be a good matchup.
This is sick.
This is a sick matchup. Here's the thing I love about it is Marcus's nickname is legit. Like, this dude is going to stand and bang. The way to beat Gaston Bolaños is to take him down and do what you need to. Marcus McGee is not going to do that until he's half dead. And the nice thing is that Marcus McGee hasn't ever been knocked out. So he kind of can rely on that here. It's just at minus 250 at 2-0 in the UFC, 8-1 overall. I just don't trust it enough for minus 250. And he doesn't really have a big size advantage. He's 2 years older. But he is training. I don't even know if he's training out of the better gym. Marcus McGee training at MMA Lab and Gaston Bolaños, a.k.a. American Kickboxing Academy. Javi.
No.
Yeah, Javi's no, working
bad.
With him.
No, it's bad.
So, I mean, listen, man. I'm not necessarily on the dog shot of Bolaños. And I'm going to take McGee as the pick because he's probably the more well-rounded fighter offensively at this standpoint. But this dude is going to get into a stupid striking brawl. So I can't. He's in the I can't help but lay the whatever parlay. Or honestly, fight starts round three, potentially plus money, because the over 2.5 is plus 150. Sign me up for a crazy fucking 10 minutes. I'll take that. Give me Marcus McGee and Bolaños to go to round three.
Yeah, I don't hate it, but not something I love. And I just think to your point, TB, I just feel like the line is about accurate or maybe a little
close.
Yeah, let's just be honest, okay? Had to look it up. You need the calculator, right? Minus 250, 71%. 71%, that's 7 out of 10 times. Like, I mean, it's dog or pass. That's it. The line has forced our hand. And it's something that we're working on here in 2024. If TB wants to include McGee in his parlay of I've worked all week for this and this, I need a little piece, like your little degen play, like go for it. But no, I just don't, like at minus 250, I just think that there's other people that you'd want to play. Like Manel Kopp is a similar price. Like that makes a lot more sense.
Yes.
Like there's levels to this and we're not getting sucked in just because we want a piece. So McGee is the pick, but it's dog or pass on a money line betting perspective. And unfortunately they're just so lazy with these props. We used to do a Wednesday show and then we would have props and now we don't.
Yeah. And it's disgusting.
It doesn't make me happy. It actually makes me a sad panda.
That's a technical foul. A crazy night.
Yeah. No.
All right, fair enough. So Marcus McGee's the pick. I feel gross playing the money line. So maybe submission prop. Maybe. All right.
Yeah, I like McGee by submission. That's dirty. He's got one career submission, and it was already in the UFC in his debut against Jerney Newsom.
Was it Nate? You trained in the UFC or Marcus?
But he's got no takedowns. So you've got to crack Gaston or like put him somehow in a position where you caught a kick or something, and then you submit him. But the submission is live. He's got no takedown defense, and he gets if you cut right into guard there. I mean, Aaron Phillips took him down and landed in mount and then he flipped over in his back and he's got him in a rear naked choke and Phillips just kind of gets tired and gives up.
We'll say McGee's body triangle is legit. I'm actually going to target submission here. That's my play for this fight. McGee by submission. We're doing it. We found something. It's the grandma's couch cushion play of the week. The greasy submission prop. Pew, pew. Bang. But we don't have a line for you because these sports.
So we don't even know how greasy it is.
It could not be greasy.
We need to get onto Bet Online. Can you look into that?
Like, we need, like, do I invest in Bitcoin? Like, what the fuck do you have to do? Can people help me out? What do you do to get on Bet Online? I'm going to incriminate myself. I'm in a legal betting state.
It's not illegal. Online.
Sure it is. It's an offshore book. It's an offshore
book. Yeah, but
book
they literally advertise it all the time.
Yeah, but we're in a legal betting state.
Yeah, but you're legally a JB.
All right, fair enough. So we got ferocious Fareed Basharat versus Taylor Double Impact Lapolis. Where did he get that nickname from? I just need to know. I feel like there could be some connotations. Anyways,
what is wrong with you?
So we've got Fareed Basharat coming in with a 2-inch height advantage, but giving up 2 inches in reach. But what I do like is that, you know, for the wrestler versus grappler matchup, I mean, wrestler versus striker matchup, Fareed Basharat still has a 64% distance striking defense, and he still lands, 52%. That's better than Lapolis, who's supposed to be the striker in this matchup. The guys Fareed Basharat has fought in the UFC, Damon Blackshear, that guy is legit. And then he comes out and takes care of business round one versus Claytison, who moved up weight. Lapolis is kind of undersized. He's got good athleticism. He moves around quick, but I just don't think he has enough volume or knockout power to do it versus Fareed. If you're not taking care of business versus Loughran, I don't think you got what it takes versus Fareed, but I'm going to be that guy. I tweeted at you guys December 17th when I placed Fareed Basharat -170. If you didn't get on the train then you got to find a parlay piece. So you put Manel Kopp and Fareed Basharat together. That's your parlay. That's your best bet. Parlay of the week, it's minus whatever, just do it. That's the two guys that I just think have all the advantages in their matchup that they need, because Basharat is not just the wrestler.
I think we got another leg if we need it.
Nah, but I'm good with just this, man. I'm good with I'm not getting greedy. And that's I don't care about some people. This is what I'm recommending. We don't need plus money. We need a winning bet.
We need plus money.
You're killing me, Smalls.
I think Fareed Basharat is going to get this fight to the mat, no matter how athletic Lapolis' takedown defense is. He's going to be relentless to get there because he knows he doesn't want to be on the feet. And what's going to be the telltale sign is his cardio, because Fareed loses round three to Blackshear on all three scorecards. But Blackshear's a much better grappler than Taylor Lapolis. So that's going to be the main difference, I think, and why he won't lose a round. I actually think Fareed's probably going to get a submission maybe later, maybe round two. But the way he choked out Claytison was pretty impressive. He was just kind of relentless. And getting controlled by this much smaller Irish Loughran, whatever the fuck that dude's name is. Again, you have one of the... You haven't won a UFC fight, buddy, and it's not your card. I don't have to perfect your name tonight, but it's not your night.
But he's fighting in Jersey soon, and he represents all of the Jersey Shore while being from Ireland.
he's coming to Atlantic City. They just booked him.
That's what I'm saying. He's representing the Jersey Shore. Anyways.
Yeah.
Good job, Abraham.
Shout out a couple people in the chat. Double Impact with Dennis Rodman first, Jean-Claude Van Damme. And then Abraham, yo, keep pushing, bro. That's awesome. So happy you're back to BJJ class. Keep puking. Keep listening to the pod. Appreciate you tuning in. We hope to give you some comedic laughs and, you know, push things along with a couple of laughs if you needed help, you know. And then Ray, using Bet Online. Is this Raymond? Oh, look at this.
Yeah,
all Raymond. Right.
Goku-san.
Cash App, convert it, JB it.
Go back to his picture. It's Goku, but his face is that weed? What's his face?
Oh, is that shrubbery?
Yeah, it looks like a little shrubbery. I know my shrubbery when I see some.
Hell yeah, sir. Keep it up. All right, so Ferocious Fareed, Starboy Manel Kopp. Don't listen to Guru. You don't need
to. I think we got another leg.
What all right, we got picture
is Gene Silva?
So we got Weston WTF Wilson. What the fuck is he doing in the UFC versus Jean Lord Assassin Silva?
Dude, don't talk shit about Wonder Boy's best friend.
Yo, fuck this guy. Come on. Come on. What is he doing here?
Talented.
All right. So here's my thing. this actually could be the sketchy underdog of the week just because
no, can't.
Why is Jean Silva minus 1050? And then you're like, let me go watch
West. He's up to minus 1050.
Bro, so that's what? It's just like just because of sketchiness. I think he's gonna win. Jean Silva's gonna win, but please do not put him in your parlay of the week. It doesn't do anything for you.
You're gonna put it in your parlay of the week.
Jean Silva, 60 seconds or less, or just don't touch this fight.
Yeah, so we had actually
Jean Silva in under half a round.
We had taken the underdog Kevin Vallejo in the Dana White Contender Series fight. Kid won the first round and then just kind of stopped throwing. Got kind of frustrated with Jean Silva's style of like kind of in and out of range, pop shotting, and just kind of being generally violent. Then he started mixing it up to the body, and that was really annoying because he's constantly kicking at the legs. But Weston Wilson, there's just really not much to show for it. I mean, look at his wins. His last three wins are against a guy that's 9-19, 4-3, and 8-5. He wins all three by round one submission. It's just not really an option here. The dude's never been submitted. So, good luck, my friend. I don't really see his path. And if we're just being honest, if we're calling a spade, Jean Silva's getting a step down in competition compared to his Dana White Contender Series fight. And that's why the line is what it is. But by all means, don't fucking play it. What you play is Jean Silva by finish, Jean Silva by KO, Jean Silva by round one KO, right? Or
under half a round.
Yeah, under half. I mean, he got finished by Brito in over half a round. So, you know, be careful.
All
right. Right?
Yeah, I'm just not going to bet this fight.
If they give me a plus 300 or something on a round one KO, I'll take a stab.
It's gonna be like minus 200.
Exactly. Well, so minus 200. Yeah, you're probably right. So no,
I'm probably right. It's minus 1050. So we got Nicholas
triple parlay. Come on, man. Give me some
Nicholas Iron Moda plus 275.
Iron
Thomas.
What? That's a disrespect to Iron.
Tom Big Train, the Tank Engine Nolan. We got the fight here that everybody wants to see. It's Nicholas Moda getting retribution for absolutely getting the most lucky non-contest against the one and only Trey Ogden in his last fight. I bet Bogdan Grodd against Tom Nolan. I have some regrets, but not a lot. I feel like once Tom Nolan fights somebody, quote unquote, his own size, he'll have it handed to him, but I got to wait for him to fight like fucking Jalen Turner or something. So I'm not going to fade him yet. We'll wait for that moment in the future. But right now, I got Tom Nolan by first round steamrolling the Big Train, Thomas the Tank Engine, first round finish over Nicholas Iron Tracks Moda. He's going to lay down the tracks. Thomas the Tank Engine running over the Iron Tracks.
Jesus Christ. How many train puns can TB fit into one breakdown?
I'm exhausted. I'm fucking exhausted.
Why are you panting, you fucking crazy person?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
that's what I thought it was. I know trains get you exciting because you're literally autistic.
You need to chill.
You need to chill. Trains get you excited. Different kinds of trains too. You know what I'm saying? All different kinds of trains.
As the guru gets us canceled, as we just broke our 500 subscribers, we're going to need canceled. To start a new channel.
What kind of stuff on YouTube? Come on, man. Anyway, I'm not really sure. Listen, if you watch that Trey Ogden fight, Moda lands 15 strikes. I mean, he's looking like a shot fighter or a scared fighter after getting his block knocked off by Manuel Torres, but his block knocked off by Jim Miller. He got knocked out by Robert Hale. He got knocked out by Antonio Ribeiro. He got choked out. I mean, he's just been finished on top of finished. Big Train is ready to have a big fucking win. So give me Big Train here. And why not stick him in TB's parlay and get yourself some fucking plus money? Because he's going to win. The only, like, if the little whisper in the back of my head, the only thing that scares me is, like, it kind of almost feels like a Reese versus Brundage type situation. But I think Tom Nolan is better than Reese. So, give me that.
I would recommend Tom Nolan if you're doing a round robin, if your whole parlay doesn't rely on him.
No.
So I'm not doing it then.
You round can't round robin a minus 345.
Sure you can, because you do it by twos and by threes and by fours. You don't bet them straight.
But it's a three-leg parlay. I'm adding one leg to your parlay to get us to plus money.
I don't want it. TB does not advise. Andre Arlovsky does not agree.
Right. Well, Andre Arlovsky has CTE, so we're not going to listen to him.
All right. So that's actually funny, unlike your other dumbass jokes.
Oh, Joshua, I'm sorry. Did I upset you?
No. Just save it for the text messages. Jesus Christ. That's like there's certain things that people want to hear or don't. But anyways, what we text about is different than what we talk about.
So AIDS is cool, but autism isn't. All right.
Yes, probably. Probably, if you had to think about it.
Should we put up a poll?
This is the important things we get to a Chronic Combat when our guest leaves during the main card. Anyways, we got Josh the Fearless Van, Guru the Fearless Skeeta versus Felipe the Boonho Boonis Filipino, TP in my bungho. We got Josh the Fearless Van. I'm sketched out at minus 250. He'll be in my, I did too much work this week to not have a little piece to Gen parlay. Josh Van by round 3/decision. But look at Filipino's face. Can you really trust this guy?
That sounds slightly racist.
No, look at him. He's like the look on his face. He looks he's kind of like sketchy.
It's kind of because his face kind of comes to like a point. It's
but he's like furrowing his brows. Well,
look at his look at his whole. It's because of his face. Look at his whole head. No, look at his head. His entire facial features are like on the bottom half of his face.
It's not his fault. My God.
I know. It's like the SpongeBob meme where it's the SpongeBob meme where he's sliding his face.
It's just your face. I just
want to punch it.
Is there anything I can do to fix it?
What happened to the stats here? I guess we had people that didn't have, Felipe doesn't have stats.
Yeah, so they don't generate it. Yeah.
That makes sense. You can't generate fake stats, so that's cool.
Yeah.
All right. I respect to everybody in the chat. I'm not going to talk shit. I have more tape to do on Felipe Buhnes.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's exactly what it is.
It's fucking unbelievable.
The Brazilian Tony Kelly. Thank you, Abraham. We needed that right now. It was off-putting. I couldn't figure it out, and it's because you look like Tony Kelly. That's why I'm sketched out. Thank you.
Can you pull up a picture of Tony Kelly?
All right, I'll get there. You go ahead and do the breakdown because it's Josh Van, right? But go ahead.
I mean, I like Josh Van, but like I said, I have more tape to do. I think Josh Van's boxing is seriously on a very high level. And I think against Borjas in his last fight, Borjas is a fucking dog. And Buhnes is, from what I remember on tape, I have more tape to do. He's a different kind of dog. Right. He's getting a knockout in his last fight in LFA, but I don't know, the dude missed weight and he's not really a high level fighter at 10-5. Then he's a split decision with a guy who's 13-9. And then we have the Jussie Formiga. What is the, he looks just like him, huh? You're fucking having a fit. Jussie Formiga, that whole debacle. It's supposed to be 125. Jussie Formiga makes it. Okay, let's do it 135. Jussie Formiga then misses weight at 135 anyway. I lean Van to get it done. I'll probably still throw him in that parlay with Tom Nolan and Cop. And who is the other one? And the other one. TB's going to tell me. Pull up the picture. You're literally muted like a JB. Still can't hear you for whatever it's worth. You're still muted. But now you're frozen. You're still muted. Can you not hear me?
Yeah, I was pulling up the picture. So
you could talk to us.
No, well, I'm sorry. I was like, my computer kind of froze up for a second while I was already on mute, so I couldn't.
That's the worst picture. You literally had all this time to pull up a picture of Tony Kelly, and this is what
you
got. So I
clicked on the image to enlarge it, and it just totally went to this whole page instead of just the image that I clicked on my computer. So
you were unable to enlarge something.
Jeez.
That's why you love that NuGenix.
See, that's actually pretty funny. All right. So here we go. We're going to go to the Tony Kelly, let's just bring you guys on an adventure right now to visit Felipe Buniz's long lost cousin from America.
He looks just like fucking Tony Kelly.
It's like, but now are you we sure?
To Felipe Buniz.
All right. So can we get a face? Is there a way to face these guys off somehow virtually?
Yes, you can. We'll do. We'll post it on Twitter after the show.
Oh my God! So thank you, Abraham. If you got a Twitter handle, put it in here so we can tag you. If you're not following us already, you're messing up. But you redeemed yourself by giving us this content. So, shout out to everybody in the chat. Make sure you're liking and subscribing. We will post this.
We have the best community, honestly.
It's absolutely fantastic. So, hey guys, listen. I mean, quite frankly, that was it, right? We got Josh Van. We got him round three decision. We got all the other ideas and. Yeah, it's probably just going to end that way. Good job, Shady, getting that minus 210 in before it ran any further. I think, some people could have caught him earlier. But hey, appreciate everyone here. Somehow we are back to the fights. It felt like an eternity. I'm seeing the oasis at the end of the desert. We made it. Guru's just salty because he's not going to be here with me watching the fights this weekend.
It's true.
It's very unfortunate, but
I'm going to be in AC. Yeah, at a concert.
At a concert, I'm just saying.
So it's hysterical. My girlfriend said that who we're going to see, Rob Thomas, is. She's like, I don't know their songs, and I played a couple songs, and she's like, this is like the type of music you'd hear at a grocery store. I just haven't really listened to it. We're literally walking in ShopRite 2 weeks ago, and Rob Thomas solo stuff came on.
And
then the song after was Matchbox 20. It was really funny. So
this guy is telling me that. He chose to go see Rob Thomas over two football games, playoff football games, and the first UFC card of the year. Listen, I JB'd all over him last year by taking the first card off, but I think this one's extra egregious given all the circumstances. So it's okay. It's all right. I know he's going to catch up on it.
You missed three of the first five last year.
So listen, let me fully explain myself. I'm just having my own fun because listen, I know I'm going to miss some other cards.
You were on
the
Epstein list, so you're going to have
Oh my God. Oh my God. Now we're in danger. No, but seriously, overall, listen, I think being a diehard means knowing when to make a few plans here and there, and you're going to catch at least, 85-90% of the cards live. So, if there's a few in there that you got to miss for obligations and everything, life happens. But at the end of the day, you got to roast each other a little bit when you do have to miss it. So
I got Andrew Schultz on May 4th, Saturday. Hopefully they don't do a UFC card.
Than Rob Thomas, I think.
But other than that, I really I don't plan on missing any others at all.
Fair enough. So that's two. It. We'll be searching, what TB goes to on the leaderboard by the end of the year, because I'll probably beat that score. But
dude, you got to do all our picks from last year, put that up on the website. We got to look into that.
Yeah. So starting off this year, listen, we got to be real, guys. The last year and a half, 2 years, we started this show. I was working at the restaurant. I was managing
during COVID,
managing a local restaurant that wasn't letting people inside the doors. So I was legitimately watching tape all day, hanging out, was trying to find a new passion. The guru, got me really into UFC betting. It got legalized in Jersey for betting overall. And it was just damn, it was just the thing to do. So the next thing you know, I uproot myself. I start a whole new career. I go back to school, finish my degree this past December. So now you're getting TB scouting MMA again. I feel like I got a little bit away from my wheelhouse, and I think it's time to focus a little back in on some tape, getting down to some really digging into the depths of each fight and making sure we're not leaving any stones unturned, because I don't have the time or energy to, I got to do my physics homework. I got to do my, systems physiology homework. I got to study for this exam. That doesn't exist anymore. So I just got regular old work, awesome shit, and we're good to go, man. So just happy to get that off my chest, starting a new year, absolutely fresh. Can't erase past results, but you can learn from them. So get ready for a fucking electric 2024. Quite frankly, I've never felt better vibes. So let's get this shit. Guru, what do you got to close us out with for this amazing year?
Yeah, I mean, I almost think you kind of downplay some of the shit that you were doing and going through, right? You had spent 5-6 years out of school and then come back to fucking physics, which is you're least about or whatever you would have been able to
physics
do.
Physics too.
physics two, right? You weren't
Albert able to Einstein's the, theory of relativity,
right? You weren't able to take like the warm up, which, by the way, guys, I can barely do pre-algebra. Like, that's legitimate stuff. So I can't do that shit. So shout out TB for being able to do that kind of stuff. But I mean, doing that, working full time, getting into a relationship, dealing with me, doing most of that, doing most of the heavy lifting of this podcast. And I don't make a fucking slideshow. I don't screenshot a picture. I don't do any of that stuff. That's all TB. So, yeah, I mean, to have you fully dedicated now, you're on a 6-day work week working 60 hours. Now you're on a 4-day work week working 40 hours. Life is very different for you. And I'm really happy for you, personally and professionally. And, you know, you haven't contracted the HIV yet, which is good.
It's
and you know, you're staying safe out there in these streets. And yeah, listen, man, we're ready. We're ready for a brand new year. I'm ready for a clean slate. It's kind of funny because Chronic Combat Conversations is just break even for the 3 years we've been doing it, basically. It's unreal. And while that's consistent, like, I really would love to turn a profit this year. I'd love to turn a profit for ourselves. I mean, we've actually turned a profit a little bit on our own, but still, what, 2%, 3% ROI? It's not enough. Like, I really would like to separate ourselves from the pack, or fuck the pack. I just would like to be better than ourselves. Exactly. So 1% better every day is actually a lot when it adds up at the end of the year. So let's get it. Don't have a guest for next week yet, but we're going to figure something out. UFC 297? Where the fuck? Seven. 297. Sean Strickland defending his middleweight belt versus Dricus du Plessis in Toronto, Canada. Incredible stuff. Oh, and then you've got the bantamweight title up for grabs for the chicks, Silva and Pennington. The fight everybody's been clamoring for. So tune in.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Take care. Stay safe. Listen. And hey, listen, we've got more tape to do. We've got more work to do. We're going to tweet out a bunch of stuff. We're going to post a bunch of stuff. Follow us on Pickett. Follow us on. Stay safe.